B-Pod Studios.
The Sports Hub. And now,
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mask.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mask.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, then. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger Maserati on a Tuesday, September 28th on the calendar. But the Tuesday is the key part. Tuesday during the football season, Maz, means only one thing.
Big boy!
It's the big boy himself, Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. Talking football for the next 2 hours. We're talking football for the next 4 hours. But the next two get a little X and O-y, which is what we need from time to time. It's not all drama and storylines, Maz. You know what I mean?
Sometimes, oh, no. We're going to get tactical on you.
Sometimes you got to look at the film and actually find out what's going on. So let's look at the film and find out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Today's subject line, today's treatise, the difference between being out-coached and being poorly coached. Follow me?
Yes, exactly.
There's a difference between being out-coached and being poorly coached.
Someone's I like where this is going.
Yeah, well, just read the Boston Sports Journal. I do. Greg, discuss that distinction.
So that was my column after the game. So I was at the stadium, worked for a while, went home, watched the TV copy back to, you know, investigate a little bit more. And I came away. They were poorly coached. They looked poorly coached. There wasn't one good area of the game. They were making terrible mistakes. You know, Hunter Henry sprinting off sides along with somebody else. I think Jacoby Myers
on the other side.
You're absolutely right about that. Yes.
Special teams blunders, block punts where, you know, wasn't even the Saints didn't even do that much. Kyle Duggar just
let
didn't
him go
clamp
by.
Down. Yeah, didn't clamp down. Basically, the Alvin Kamara touchdown, walk-in touchdown for the best player in their offense. It was Jets-esque. That performance by the Patriots on Sunday, it was basically like one of those games where the Patriots sit back, the Patriots fans at home or in the stadium, and they laugh at the other team because of how inept they were and just how they couldn't do anything right. They look poorly coached. That's the way the Patriots look. Now, we've heard Bill in previous years come out and say, we were out-coached, we were outplayed. He didn't say that after this game because he knows it wasn't about – another coaching Sean Payton and Dennis Allen getting one over on their coaching staff, like just being one step ahead of them the whole game with scheme and matchups and this and that, adjustments, all that. It wasn't any of that. The Patriots just stunk, and they really stunk up front on the offensive line again, and the Saints just whipped them on both sides of the line. The defense was better. You know, watching back the coach's film today, the defense was good other than the final drive when you really needed them. Again, they got run over. 13 play drive, all but two. There were two passing plays,
three,
11 running plays.
Yeah, whatever, 10 or 11.
I mean, it's just not good enough. And look, I'm not going to completely kill them because we did think they would be somewhat in this area to start with, that they would be clunky. And it was just a matter of time. When are they going to get it figured out? And is it going to be too late by that time? At 1-2, facing 1-3, it might be too late.
Okay, discuss. Pick up on that. What do you mean? Just purely the math, the record of it? Or they're just not good enough to turn it around?
No, I think they're, well, a little bit of everything. I think they are good enough. I think Mac Jones is good enough if he gets any damn protection and they can run the ball. I mean, look, we came into the season. We said, or at least I said, go with the rookie quarterback. There's not a better situation in the league for a rookie quarterback than here. Veteran offensive line. You brought in weapons. You have a good defense that's going to get you the ball, turn the ball over at times, and none of it has worked out as planned to this point. And I think a lot of it is just the newness of it all. Too many new players. They're not used to it. They're not indoctrinated. And there's just little mistakes all over the place. And so do I think they're going to get it figured out? Yes. I think they're going to be a good team at some point this season. But if they're 1-3, I mean, do the math. Last year, 11-5 made the playoffs in the AFC. I mean, that's maybe 11-6 this year. That means if they start 1-3, they have to go 10-3 the rest of the way.
Do you have a question or thought, Maz, before I continue with
So look, when we talk about, you know, poorly coached versus out-coached, when we get back to that, like, and again, now we're playing semantics here, Greg, but I felt that it looked like ill-prepared. Like, you know what I mean? They got manhandled in that game. They looked like just completely, like they didn't belong in the same field.
Can I follow up on that? When you say so poorly coached, is that because the coaches are poor?
Could be.
Or the players aren't taking the coaching?
Well, look, I think Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, and Ivan Fears are three coaches that I know are excellent at what they do. The rest of the people, I don't know. Do we really know out of any of them? I mean, I went through the list in my column, and are they good coaches? I don't know.
So is that too much nepotism, too many Bobos? Is it? Do you think that that's, you know, now starting to rear its ugly head?
It could. I mean, I think we're going to learn a lot about the coaching staff this year.
So why are we absolving Bill on that? I mean, are you sure he still has his fastball?
Yes, I think he does. I mean, but
that wasn't convincing, Greg.
Yeah, not I mean, I don't know, and I've raised this question, you know, during training camp, you know, about him being more of a. It seems like he's more of a CEO coach to me. But the good thing about Bill, at least in years past, if there's something screwed up on his team that needs fixing, he'll step in and fix it himself. I assume he's still willing to do that. But are there too many problem areas? I mean, the defense, when has the defense made a play so far this year? I mean, when have they?
They made one. They intercepted Tua with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
And that was mostly Tua. Just take the sack and punt the ball away to her.
Still, yeah. I mean, I'll give them a play there. They made a play there.
Okay, but in Greg's defense, I looked this up this morning. Zero forced fumbles. Zero.
And
you know what? Just quickly, Greg. Last year, 5.
Yes.
Fewest in the league. So the point is, they don't make any plays on defense.
And you know why that is.
I looked this up this morning. I said, when's the last time the Patriots actually, like, forced a fumble? Like when somebody really hits someone and knocked the ball loose.
Well, you know
it never happens.
You know what NFL coaches point to that stat as a symbol of team speed. And I think I did something in the offseason where I showed their forced fumble stats have gone down every year. And you watch this team, and I said it after, I don't know, week one or last week. And I said, they look slow on defense. The front seven is slow. And I get pushback on Twitter. What do you mean slow? Who's slow? And then you come into this game.
No. Answer the ask it to the who's fast?
Right.
Who's got high? But anyway, keep going, Greg.
But so following forward on that, the Patriots offensive line has been practicing against the Patriots front seven all offseason. They look like they weren't ready for the team speed of the Saints. I mean, how could anybody watch the game on Sunday and said the Patriots' defensive speed is anywhere near what the Saints is? And you're going to see it again on Sunday night with the Bucs. Those linebackers, they fly all over the field. Now, the secondary has issues. But the Patriots' offensive line has practiced against that. They look like they weren't ready for the speed of the Saints. They were completely overwhelmed.
Okay, folks, you want to join us, talk some football with Greg? But you can release that. We got Billy and Kevin back there today, 617-779-0985. So, again, question marks on the coaching staff, and including Bill. I'm sorry. You have to. Some of it is just biology. Like you would question an old player. Has the game passed him by? Is he too old? You should absolutely ask the same thing about old head coaches. The track record is similar in that there's a certain age where guys just don't do much, and Bill's at that age. So who knows? Does he defy it like Brady has or not? But it's just a fair question. But certainly his staff, okay? Then there is the talent issue, Greg. Where is the talent not there? Is the talent not there on the offensive line? Did we totally overrate that offensive line or on the defense or wherever you want to go to? Like, are there some places where the coaching is just not going to overcome the lack of talent?
I think there's plenty of talent on the offensive line. It might be the coaching there. Carm Brasillo is by himself, Nicole Popovich, 2 years away from Dante Scarnecchia. The second year for DeGuglielmo. First year they won a Super Bowl. Second year he got fired, and the offensive line was trash. Last year, first year without Scarnecchia, the offensive line was good. This is now the second year, and so far they've been terrible. So I don't know what's going on there. But there's certainly enough talent. Do I think that not having Trent Brown has really affected things? Yes, it's not an excuse, but I do think it's caused a lot of issues. And, you know, people will say, well, why didn't Josh McDaniels protect Justin Herron and right tackle? Well, he did. I mean, you don't just sit a tight end or somebody over there all game long. I mean, basically what you try to do is you try to mix and match all the time. Like, what are you doing? I'm going to slide this way, or we're going to run this way, or we're going to, you know, you just do different tactics to help your right tackle. And they did that in that game, and it still wasn't good enough. And there's a trickle down effect on that in terms of how many can go out for routes, all that stuff. So the offensive line is not a problem. To me, I'm more and more concerned about the defense front seven every day. I mean, Godshaw was better in this game.
He was.
He definitely took a step forward. Guy has been okay. I think he was a little bit better this week. Wise is still invisible, other than once in a while he makes a splash play. But Juwan Bentley, Dante Hightower, Kyle Van Noy, Matthew Judon, yes, makes some plays, but on balance, like, is he the type of guy that a defensive an offensive coordinator game plans against? Hell no. He's a good player. He makes plays. Completely blew the Kyle Duggar touchdown. I mean, Alvin Kamara touchdown.
So you think that was him? Ted Johnson said, yes, it might have been him.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it looked like to me. It looked like Van Noy signaling to him. They were also looking at each other after the play on the coach's film. It looked like they were playing. Everybody else, when I saw the TV copier and I was in the stadium, I thought it was some sort of zone, and I thought Duggar might have been wrong, that he was playing man when he should have been in zone. You watch the film, they're all in man-to-man other than the two linebackers, so you're like, you know, they're not dumb enough to play man-to-man coverage on Alvin Kamara,
right,
in the red zone. So to me, that's bracket coverage. Whichever side he goes to, the linebacker funnels him in, and the other linebacker has to be in the middle of the field, basically to bracket him, double cover him in the middle of the field. And Judon just didn't move. He took on the tight end that came across, and as soon as the play was over, Kyle Van Noy's looking at him like, dude, what the hell? There's too many of dude, what the hell moments. Yes, are going on in this team.
Yes.
I mean, as he talks about the front seven, I think the linebacker play on this team so far has sucked.
They need a whole revamp of the linebackers. Like we've been talking about, they need a complete change. Bill needs a complete philosophy change. Stop with the taking on the run and all this. It's a different game now. Go get speed. I want them all gone. I want speed replaced. It's just, I'm tired of watching this. You need people who can fly around. Watch Bush and company. Watch the guys who won the Super Bowl last year. They fly the flip around all over the field. And the Patriots are just, I'm going to take on a blocker. I'm going to get off a block. Like, this isn't 1985.
I mean, it is striking when you look at the linebackers and you say, coming into the year, we thought the return of Van Noy, the return of Hightower, addition to Judon.
Slow.
Okay.
Slow.
None of them can really move. None of them had done a thing, and I'm including Bentley.
Okay, folks, your thoughts on all of the above, plus a national commentator has looked at Mac Jones so far this season and said, not good. You'll hear that commentary, and we'll get yours right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What do you make of Mac Jones through three games? And I know you haven't watched every single game, but what?
Well,
what
I have. I have. And it's not been great, you know, to be honest. But what do you expect? You know, rookie quarterbacks around the league going into last week, I think it was one touchdown and eight interceptions for everybody. And I think the touchdown might have even been Max Aguilar. It was, you know, it's just, it's just so much, you know. So as you know, like, to go from college to the NFL, the big thing is really understanding all of the stuff that you got to do at the line of scrimmage, all the command. A lot of these coordinators, they love to call three plays in one huddle call, and you got to be able to spit that out. And not only spit it out, you got to then be able to execute it. And you just see guys who are tremendously talented in college who are really struggling. Justin Fields throws for one net passing yard this week. It was just, you know, not great, not great at all. And you can't even find any rookie quarterbacks who are doing well. So maybe that's just part of the growing pains. But he looks uncomfortable to me. He looks like I felt early in my career. And luckily I was, you know, they stuck with me long enough for me to figure it out. And I'm sure that's what has to happen for Mac Jones here eventually.
Okay, Matt Hasselbeck on earlier with Solak and Bertrand. Catch the full interview on 98.5thesportsup.com or the app. Catch us live on the stream or on all the replays. Maz, you have a thought on that Matt Hasselbeck commentary?
Yeah, I think Hasselbeck has had doubts about Mac Jones from the very beginning. When he was on ESPN, he was saying, this guy's not athletic enough to be taken high in the draft. And he illustrated some throws where the lack of athleticism led to a little bit of, you know, erratic mechanics, things sort of like that. But he hasn't loved Jones from the very, very beginning.
Okay, he says not great, doesn't look comfortable. Greg, your thoughts?
Don't disagree. I mean, look, I thought I gave him what? An A- after week one. I gave him a C- / D+ last week. This week, it was worse. I'd say a solid D. And it's going downhill, and it's not his fault. Look, I'm not saying that Mac sucks or he's not doing this. You know, some of it's like he's not being bailed out by his own guys. I mean, Jonnu Smith, catch the freaking ball once in a while. I mean, what are they paying you $12.5 million for? Same with Hunter Henry. I mean, I can't believe they paid those guys this amount of money for what they've shown so far. I mean, Mac Jones pulls a play out of his rear end again and scrambles, gets out of it, and while he's getting hit, throws it down the right sideline, and Jonnu Smith drops it. I mean, help the guy out a little bit. But in general, Mac's been fine, but he's getting sped up because of the offensive line and the no running game. We came in, just like what I said before, great situation for a rookie quarterback, great offensive line. They run the ball whenever they want. Basically, the last 2 years, they've been able to run the ball. I don't know, 3 years, going back to 2018. They've been able to run the ball whenever they wanted to against whoever they wanted to. They can't do that anymore for whatever reason. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's, you know, guys resting on their laurels. I don't know what it is. But they can't run the ball. Mac needs that protection with the running game. So the play-action game doesn't work. Like, none of it is working. It's all disjointed. Now, do I think it's all lost cause and this season is over? No. This is a good team. They're going to get it at some point in time, but it's the same thing I said before the season. When is it going to come together, and is it going to be too late? The clock, if they go to 1-3, if they don't pull a game out of their rear end this weekend, the clock is ticking loudly.
Okay, your thoughts, as promised. Greg Bedard, obviously, in studio. Matt in the car. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Matt. What do you got?
All right. Been a longtime New Orleans Saints fan since 1994.
Okay, born and raised in. Okay, man. Get to the point, please.
All right. So, all week, I didn't hear one good thing about the Saints. Not one good thing.
Let me just stop you, Matt. Thanks for the call. Did we underrate the Saints, Greg Bedard?
No. I told you all week that the defense was good. How many times did I say that? I said all week long, I'm not worried about the Saints offense. I'm worried about the Saints defense. I said it over and over and over again.
I overlooked him totally, caller. And I'm sorry
I didn't.
I'm sorry to cut you off. It was just going to take too long to get to the point.
I mean, my column on Sunday morning was about they better not be looking past this game or else they're going to be in deep trouble. And about, I was mostly worried about the Saints team speed on defense, that I thought there was a chance that the offensive line and everybody was going to look too slow against them, and that's what happened.
They were good. Defense is good. They've been good for a few years. Everybody hears New Orleans, and they say offense. Instinctively, they say offense. The defense was the better unit last year.
I looked at a team that's been out of the house, been kicked out of their city for a month, and said, well, how's this going to, the end of a month-long
odyssey. Yeah, and they sucked the week before.
Yeah, and they sucked the week before. Who's he throwing about? Yeah, well, he can crow if he wants. I mean, whatever. I overlooked them. I thought they'd be in a horrible place as a team, being out of their home for a month and then seeing the finish line of getting to going home and mailing it in just to get home. And wrong. And I'm not that, you know, other than Cam Jordan and Lattimore, I'm not that familiar with their defensive personnel.
Yep.
And, you know, it might have helped if he didn't keep throwing at Lattimore. Did you write that or did someone point that out? Like, it is true. You threw at that guy quite a bit.
They did, yeah. And the thing is, too, the Saints, they're aggressive on D. They're aggressive. How many times did they come after Joe? How many times did they blitz in that game?
It wasn't a ton. You'd be surprised. It just looked like
it just felt that
it
way.
It felt that way because of how fast they were in the front seven. I thought the big thing with the Saints defense was Dennis Allen did a great job of spinning the dial with everything. The pressures, the coverages, it was sort of a little bit like Rex Ryan, what he used to do to the Patriots. And I thought it was a master class, and it just you just watched it and you wondered, where the hell is this with the Patriots? And when the hell have they ever been able to do this? Like, when do you ever watch a Patriots defensive performance and say, wow, that really surprised me what they did?
It's been a while.
Surprised the other offense. I mean, most of the time, it's just the normal stuff. Some crappy quarterback throws them the ball.
Stephen Burlington, you're up next. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Greg, always good to have you on. Just a quick note. An MO of any Belichick-led defense is always, we take away what you do best, we'll make you beat you another way. This Sunday, you can, you know, explain away the red zone, mishap, miscommunication. But even on first down, like 9-yard, Felger, you said yesterday, 9-yard swing passes to Kamara.
Yeah.
6-yard run, like making it second and short, third and manageable. It just seemed like he didn't take away the one option they had, which he always, that's his fastball. It just seems like he didn't have it.
To me, and that was that's what was glaring. What did Kamara do the week before in Carolina?
Oh, he completely bottled up. Zero.
The coaches in Carolina said they got one guy. Take him out. And so, like, I mean, that is, if Bill's not doing that, what's he doing?
You know what it was? You know why Carolina was so effective against Kamara and the Saints? They're fast.
I was just going to say that. Their defense is fast.
Yes.
They are. They're fast. That Carolina defense is fast.
The Patriots are not.
Okay. John in Saugus. Go ahead, John.
How you doing, guys? I'm going to say, it seems like they're running on the right side of that defense. But Jets did, Miami did, whenever they needed a first down. Taysom Hill, he ran the ball a couple of times, and he always went to the right side.
Hey, John, that's an excellent point, running to the offensive right. Is that, did you, I can't remember where I read it. Maybe it was you. I don't know, but it was. It was
a lot.
It was the offensive right side, Greg. So what were they seeing there?
Well, I mean, normally what you do is if you want to run power, you look for the best defensive lineman, unless it's like Aaron Donald, and you double-team them and run at them. So the right side would be Lawrence Guy. You double team him and then push him and go to the second level.
Again, the Saints were without their starting center.
Yep.
Another starter on the O-line.
And they lost their left tackle.
And then the left tackle got hurt in the first quarter, right?
Who's one of the best in the league. And you couldn't tell.
So they had three backups on the offensive line.
Sounds right.
This was like the same in the Miami game. Miami was short on the offensive line. They pushed the Patriots around. Their defense in the middle sucks.
Other teams come in and they're moving people around and they can do the job. The Patriots lose one guy at right tackle and the sky's falling.
Okay. Mike, not good. Not good. Brian in Salem. I'll go to you next. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, guys. So I don't know if you saw over the weekend, in light of Alex Guerrero's comments, Seth Wickersham brought up a quote from Bill from last year. The quote was, over the last two decades, everything we did, every single decision we made in terms of major planning was made with the idea of how to make things best for Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And it is just, it's crazy how badly false that was. Just a few examples. You didn't re-sign Branch. You dicked around with Welker. You traded Mankins before the end of the season. And then the cherry on top, ask Tom about how he handles his footballs. How does that make anything easier for Tom?
Yeah, Bill said that. When did Bill say that last year? Was it last year or the year before?
No, I think it was last year. Someone asked him about tailoring the offense to Cam Newton, or do you have to tailor your offense? It was something along those lines.
Yeah, it was during his excuse-making phase.
What a martyr. What a bullcrap excuse that was. And this is without me. I don't give, you know, I'm not on this camp that, you know, that they left Brady high and dry and they should have surrounded him with more and done more for him. I've never given – it's been a while since I've given Brady that. I gave it that in 06, frankly, I did. But to me, when you have a superstar quarterback, you know, he should make others around him better. You shouldn't need to prop him up. So I'm not with them on that. That being said, Bill excusing that away, you know, Bill –
using that as an excuse for why he had a crappy roster is embarrassing.
Of course. Yes, and you know how it was crappy? It looks crappier by the minute last year, by the way, because they have a roster this year that you thought was a lot better and really isn't, and it's way better than last year.
It's just excuse making for the fact that he couldn't draft. I mean, that's just what that amounts to. Here's an update from Big Jim Murray. We come back, we do three up, three down with the big boy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mass.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub. And now, it's time for three.
Jones with time. Throwing the deep ball down the left side.
What a throw.
Three down.
This is one of the worst throws he's had.
With Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Bucks win the Super Bowl. And there the cannons go. Keep on firing them.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
On Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, gone over the film. We've got our three studs, three duds. Mass plays along from his couch. And we go. So the three studs, let's keep this quick. Let's do all three at once. I'm sure it's a quick list. I'm sure it was hard to compile, actually. Who are your three studs, Greg, in order?
Kendrick Bourne, Juwan Bentley, and Devon Godchow.
Okay, two of the three I get. Bentley, I didn't see as much, but Bourne, I think,
he made a few plays. I mean, he was set up by, you know, some of the defensive linemen, but, you know, give the guy credit. He played well, and then I think he was out because of an injury. Later on, which led to the whole. I love when the Patriots play elevated practice squad guys.
Oh, that's so 48 awesome. There with the Again. Hair. Like all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's like I thought I was like it was like watching the Red Sox this year, where it's like every now and then you turn and you're like, who the hell is that?
Yeah, Bill gets off on that.
Yep.
Never seen that guy before in my life.
Always has.
So, but he was in because Hightower was getting a blow.
Hightower was ineffective. I don't think it was just for rest.
Okay, your three studs there.
I went with also with Bourne. I went Dietrich Wise, and I went Jacoby Myers. I actually thought Wise made a few plays in this game. I thought he was okay, and he sucked up until now. And Myers was good too, but outside of those three, I had a hard time.
Okay, Greg, three duds. Number one dud,
Jonnu Smith, by far.
In a landslide.
It could be the worst, and I'm not. This is not hyperbole, people on Twitter. This might be the worst offensive player performance I have ever seen by a Patriots player.
How many negative plays did you have for him, Greg?
10. He played 30 snaps.
Too low.
10. And I probably wasn't even watching him on some of them.
Okay.
He probably screwed those up too.
So
he was awful. I had him. I actually gave him four drops because I thought the ball in the middle of the field where he got hit, I thought he didn't run that route properly and he left his feet again. I thought watching the game, I thought in some way Jonnu Smith was impaired. Oh. Now, it could be he was sick that day. It could be he got bad personal news the morning of the game. Some reason he was completely off his game. He was sick before the game. I don't know. Whatever it was, that was not Jonnu Smith on the field. That was some imposter. It was that was worse than Ryan Izzo. I remember Ryan Izzo having one really bad game where he like went into another column on my thing. I think this one was, I'm pretty sure this one was worse. I'll have to dig out my other sheets.
Wow.
I mean, you know, again, if he's comparing him to Ryan Izzo, that's
wow.
a bad sign.
Number one dud, man?
Yeah, Jonnu Smith. We can move on. That's so obvious.
Number two.
Justin Herron. I mean, look, he wasn't good and by any stretch of the imagination. I think I had him for 9 minus plays in the game.
9. Maz?
I went David Andrews. And I thought it was one of the worst games I've ever seen.
He was not good.
It's one of the worst games I've ever seen him play. And I like Andrews. I think Andrews is a good player. But there was a lot of pressure up the middle. The offensive line looked completely disoriented. They weren't communicating with one another. It was awful. And by the way, I asked him on this morning, courtesy of my friends at ESPN Stats and Information. Mac Jones has been hit 28 times this year, eighth most in the league. And in the pocket, the number is 22, which is third most. Mm. So that means when he goes back in the pocket, he has been hit more than all but two quarterbacks in the league. Like, that is not good. And Andrews is a big part of that.
Okay, next, Greg. Third?
I went with Damian Harris. Just his pass protection was terrible. He gave up a sack, had another one. I think it got his butt benched.
Yeah.
Which is just awesome. I mean, 3 weeks into the season, the Patriots have benched their rookie running back, their starting running back. Sony Michel's running wild in L.A. James White is out for the year. Like, what the hell is going on in the backfield?
I went Jonathan Jones. I thought, aside from the touchdown in which he committed a penalty and still gave up the touchdown, he also had a play where he was chasing Kamara on the sideline and took a horrible angle to where Kamara ran right by him and got 9 or 10 yards. And so, to me, he's got to turn him back in there. He got beat around the corner. I thought he sucked in this game, Jonathan Jones.
Yep. Okay, three up, three down. There it is. How about Chris and Everett? You have a thought on this. Go ahead, Chris.
So I called recently about the roster management and basically said that historically I think a lot of teams have had a hard time gelling right away. My issue is also more so with the guys that they brought in. I mean, one of the guys they brought in was Trent Brown, and he basically quit on the Oakland Raiders. So I don't know if he's actually injured or not, and I'm not questioning the guy. I'm just saying, are we sure that the guy is committed to playing football after he gets his money? And then the other thing is, too, you know, the roster management with not having a number one corner with Stephon Gilmore and also not having a decent veteran quarterback, like Mac Jones is going to get killed, like Murray was saying yesterday. If they had a veteran right now, like, I don't know, Teddy Bridgewater, who they could have gotten for a 6-round pick instead of playing Mac Jones right now, wouldn't you rather him be taking the beating instead of the young quarterback?
Well, yes. I mean, look, this isn't why they're 1-2 and we haven't gotten to the backup quarterback yet. I hate their backup quarterback situation. They should have done more. Bridgewater would have been a good fit on this team. I still think you're 1-2 with them. So it's really kind of a story for another day. But
yeah,
the roster management and the talent analysis. I mean, Janu Smith was the top tight end on the board, right? But is he a top tight end?
No.
Right. I mean, so like, there's a difference there. Yeah, it's, you know, for our Bruins fans, just because Matt Bolesky is the top forward in the free agent class doesn't mean that he's a top forward.
I mean, would you put him in the same breath with George Kittle or Darren Waller? I wouldn't.
Not even close.
Not even close.
Nope.
Not even close.
Neither one of those guys.
But this is what happens when you don't draft and develop your own guys. You got to overpay for middling guys. And look, I think Jonnu Smith, I think to a lesser extent Hunter Henry, he's just like when I saw Sony Michel on the field, his first mini camp, and I said, I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see anything special in him. I see this. I said the same thing about Hunter Henry. Yes, he's a very good red zone target. He gets up. He jumps a little bit better than I thought in the red zone, you know, if they can get there and actually throw into the end zone. But look, in general, like, I don't want to hear anything about Stephon Gilmore, really. This team has bigger problems than who the hell is playing cornerback. They can't even walk one foot in front of the other. Like, I love the play where Kyle Duggar and Adrian Phillips wound up in the same exact spot in pass coverage and left that receiver open for 17 yards. I mean, they can't even block a punt. Jake Bailey can't even punt the ball correctly anymore.
Kick off.
I mean, he can't kick off. 2 in 3 weeks. Like, there are so many things wrong with this team other than cornerback. Like, the list is long.
Okay, long commercial-free segment is next. More of your reaction. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
He is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jones under pressure, steps up, rifles down the middle, and the ball is incomplete. In and out of the hands of the receiver who was drilled from behind, Jonnu Smith.
Catch it.
And Jonnu Smith should have had that ball.
The ball's delivered perfectly.
right between two defenders. Are you going to get hit? Yeah. Catch it.
First and 10. Deep drop by Jones. Again, under pressure. Rolls to his right. Off the back foot. Throws it deep down the right side for Smith, who makes the catch along the far side. No. He could not hold on to it as he landed.
I mean, what a play by the quarterback to keep this play alive. I mean, Smith is not impressive at all.
And a throw down the middle off the hands of Smith and intercepted. Down the right side, Malcolm Jenkins will trot in for a touchdown. That's a pick six off the hands of the tight end for the Patriots in about the worst way you could possibly envision starting the second half for New England.
It's like throwing up in your mouth and swallowing it five times. Fight the ball more today, Smith. Fight it more. You can't. You juggled it down the middle. You couldn't catch it on the sideline. You get separation, and it's loop-de-doo, pop it in the air, and you spot him six. Get Lacoste up and running.
Give me Aussie. Quick throw to the left. The ball's batted down at the line. He's trying to hit Jonnu Smith.
Nope.
The ball was knocked down.
Here come the Boo Birds. I'd sit him down. Sit him down.
Right through the hands of
Smith. Four drops today. Four. 0 for 4.
The give goes to J.J. Taylor, runs through a tackle, bounces off another man, and carries past the 35. Big run for Taylor, but it may be coming back.
Hey, tight ends.
Two flags trailing him.
These tight ends. Take 81 and tell him sit on the white bench. He's killing you right now. He is killing this offense. Get him out. Thank you. Adios.
There's our Jonnu Smith low light montage. Back to your phone to Greg Bedard. Matt in Framingham, bring us back. What do you got?
Boy, that was quite a montage. That was great. Greg, simple question. Are you sensing a disconnect between the players and the coaching staff? Because the amount of mistakes on this field is absolutely glaring. And I don't even know if it's me or they're tuning out the coaching staff. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's kind of that question. Does the coaching suck, or they're coaching it right and the players just aren't smart enough to pick it up?
Well, I don't think they're tuning out the coaches yet. I just think it's, you know, you bring 11 new starters in, 11 out of 22. Guys aren't used to doing certain things. Training camp isn't as good as it is, so they're not as tuned up, you know, early in the regular season as they are. Really, you'd like to use the first month as sort of, you know, a glorified training camp. Of course, that helps when you're actually winning games and not being 1-2. But, you know, the further this goes into the season, if it doesn't get turned around, hell yeah, you look at the coaches.
Wayne, I'm sorry, finish?
Nope.
Okay, Wayne in Yarmouth. Go ahead, Wayne.
Well, you guys have touched on it. The roster is the real problem. And we've seen this building now for 3 or 4 years with Belichick. He's had great past years with roster building, but it's deteriorating to a point where, is this going to become, in your opinion, a long-term issue and several years before we shake out of, you know, what is mediocrity now?
So, Greg, you don't think so, to answer his question. You think they'll be a good team this year at some point?
I do. I mean, I don't think they're ever going to be. And look, this is almost an offshoot of the discussion that we've been having for the last decade with this team, especially with when it comes to the defense, where, look, they're never going to be special. They're never going to be they're going to be a game plan team. He wants versatility. They're never going to be dominating. You're not going to have some guy, you know, some middle linebacker who's flying all over the place like White from the Bucks. That's just who they're never going to be as long as Bill's in charge. But I do think they're going to be a good team by the end of the year. I just think something needs to turn around very quickly, or else it's going to be too late.
I have my doubts.
John in Attleboro, go ahead, John.
Hey guys, hey Greg. Their upcoming schedule, the next 12 games, I have them 4-8 in their next 12 games. the only teams I have them beaten is the Jets, Houston. Oh, God.
Okay, I'll let you go and just, you know, pick up the thought that the whole schedule thing changes, and it's fascinating how it changes. You know, going into the year, you know, what are wins, what are losses? Mm-hmm. You know, by the way, going into the year, we had them 3-0.
Yep.
Right? So, like, okay, so throw that out the window. But
look at a game like at Carolina later in the season.
So I was just going to, you know, give it to you, Jim. So now, first of all, there is no automatic anymore.
Right.
So at Houston, you know.
Who's to say? Really?
Who's to say? Dallas coming here on the 17th?
You get killed in that game.
No, totally different than I would have guessed at the beginning of the year.
I think that is going to be a swing game for this team. It's going to be a huge game because, you know, they'll be 1-3. We'll give them Texans and the Jets. That means that they are, 3-3?
They'll be 2-3 against Dallas if it plays out that way.
Yeah, but so they could be, coming out of the Jets game, they could be 4-3.
If they beat Dallas. So, if you're talking swing game, they're down. But anyway, just listen.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Keep going.
Going into the year, we looked at Dallas at home and said, they're a mess. Win.
Nope.
Now it's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
The 31st, Halloween, at the Chargers.
Nope.
We looked at that before and said, okay, they're not ready. Win. Now?
No way.
I mean, so like at Carolina. On November 4th, totally different. I think you look at these games totally differently now. And it's got me reassessing, you know, the over-under win total, what they're going to be, all of that.
Yeah, and same thought crossed my mind in the last day or two, especially last night. Dallas won, Chargers won at Kansas City. Like you do, Carolina's unbeaten, totally different.
We've got our buddy Carlton down in Tampa. Hi, Carlton.
Hey, guys. This coming Sunday, the Patriots are at an enormous disadvantage in every single position on the field except for defensive backs, punter, and Bailey has sucked so far this year, but he's a pro bowler, and punt returner. Every other position, offensive line, Tampa much better, running backs, Tampa much better, especially with White out, wide receivers much better, tight ends.
Hang in there, Carlton, hang in there, come on, hold it like a pizza.
Defensive line, much better. Linebackers, much better. Kickers is a push. Suckup and Folk are both good.
Yeah.
Quarterback, much better. Coaching staff, much better, Tampa Bay. Yeah. You are going to get trucked this weekend. Trucked. The Patriots have one chance, and that is Aguilar, Bourne, Jacoby Myers, Hunter Henry, and Jonnu Smith have got to go to town on those depleted defensive backs of Tampa Bay. But is Mac Jones going to have enough time to throw the ball down the field? He's going to be on his back the whole game. Almost no chance, guys. Okay. Almost none.
Can I give you some numbers to back up what he just said? Because I'm reading from Greg Aumann, Bucks reporter for The Athletic. The Bucks through three games, 27th in scoring defense, 32nd in pass defense, 32nd in sack percentage. That's the one that's maybe the most surprising because they got a really good front, you'd think. 29th on third down. They've been brutal. So, yeah, that's the way. You've got to have Bourne, Aguilar, throw to the wide receivers.
But
attack
again,
that secondary.
Who is Tampa? They've played three good offenses, haven't they? Dallas.
Atlanta blows.
Okay, take out Atlanta, sorry. But Dallas and certainly the Rams.
That's where the coverage shows up. You know, the reason why they're not getting sacks is because they can't cover in the back end. And for some reason, Todd Bowles is not adjusting. Like, they can't. He keeps bringing five with pressure and trying to go man-to-man. They can't play man-to-man. Like, he's got to figure out a different formula. He can't just keep doing what he's doing.
Yeah, I think on paper the game's a mismatch. On paper, it's a mismatch. The only way it gets equalized is if Belichick somehow conjures something up, and right now I don't know how much confidence I have in that.
Let's pick that up on the other side. No commercials here, just a update from Big Jim Murray, and then we're back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.